This presentation has been previously broadcast.
The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show.
On Relevant Radio.
Take this, all of you, and eat of it. For this is my body, which will be given up for you.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Well, a blessed Holy Thursday to you. I'm Drew Mariani. Thanks for joining me today. We have a little bit of a different show coming up today. I'm going to get you plugged into some news and some headlines, some really important ones to start off with. But then I want to take you through a journey. I'm going to share with you what some of the great mystics like St. Faustina saw regarding the Last Supper, the Garden of Gethsemane. And tomorrow I'll share with you more on the Passion, but we'll talk a little bit about that. There is a beautiful tradition of visiting seven churches. I don't know if you're aware of that. I'll touch on that. Father Rocky's going to be stopping by. Kind of the highlight today, a little later, one in the last hour of my broadcast today, I am going to be joined by a Catholic who lives in the Holy Land. He's a Christian there who's seen unbelievable persecution and actually guides Christians who come and go on pilgrimage. And he'll walk us through what Christ went through 2,000 years ago. You're going to get a look at the Holy Land, a look at the Passion of our Lord, unlike you've ever heard. Plus, there's a lot going on over there right now. Rockets have been fired at Israel from Lebanon, raising the risk of conflict. Tensions are mounting over there. And we'll get into that as well. Christian security in the Holy Land, you may be contemplating a pilgrimage. You may want to stay tuned for that as well. And have you ever heard of the Red Heifer Prophecy? I don't know if you've ever heard about this. This is something I'll get into later. I don't even know what to make of it, to be honest with you. It is a prophecy. It's a concept in Jewish and Christian eschatology that refers to the belief that with the birth of a red heifer, a female cow, it's entirely red in color, right? It has never borne a yoke. It's going to signal the rebuilding of the third temple in Jerusalem and the coming of the Messiah. There was a report, and I'm going to find out from him what he thinks of this, that five cows bred by a Christian rancher in the U.S. Supposedly have met this requirement. At least one of them has. And this requirement comes from the book of Numbers. What does that mean? How does it play out in Jewish tradition? The ashes of a red heifer are needed for the purification rituals required to enter the Temple Mount, where the temple once stood. And they have these specific conditions of how that's got to be raised. But according to Jewish tradition, there's only been nine red heifers in history. The 10th will be born before the arrival of the Messiah. What does he know about that? There's a lot of reports that there may have been one born. Are we living in prophetic times? So we'll take a look at the Jewish roots of the Eucharist and a lot more today. Stay with me, okay? We got a full show. It's going to be a lot of fun, but let's pray, too, over this time in which our Lord suffered greatly for love of us, for our country, and for the world. I've been praying so hard. I really have been pouring my heart out to God for mercy and for protection over this country and over the world. And I invite you to pray for peace, too. The Biden administration is considering a change in hiring rules that could exclude people. Now, listen to this. This is just such a headbanger for me. For an administration that's so open to diversity and inclusion, right? The Biden administration is considering a change in hiring rules that could exclude people based on their points of view. Now, right now, the only thing that immediately disqualifies somebody from being considered is if they've ever tried to overthrow the U.S. government. But there was a report earlier today that these new rules added a few things, including acts of force, violence, intimidation, or coercion with the purpose of denying others the free exercise of their rights under the Constitution or any state constitution. I emphasize intimidation or coercion. So yeah, you got to drill into this stuff. Words, they have a way of whitewashing things. Because it could be argued by some that if you stand on a sidewalk and you try to persuade a woman not to abort her child, not to kill her baby, that could be viewed as an act of intimidation or coercion. There are also a couple of other criteria such as having to do with illegal acts. But several conservative groups objected to this proposed change, saying that what you're really saying is that conservatives need not apply. So you've got this whitewashed language that is just a filter for keeping conservative ideology out of your administration. I'll leave it at that. I saw the story. We are in a battle of ideologies. That's where we are today in this culture. It's a battle for the soul of America, as Joe Biden likes to say. The only way you say the soul of America is by getting back to virtue and to morality and to Christian principles. There was a report also that came out of 22 state attorney generals who signed a letter calling on the U.S. Department of Treasury, Labor, and Health and Human Services to rescind all Trump-era religious conscience protections under the Affordable Care Act. So the letter applauds Democrats for their efforts to improve access to contraceptive coverage under the Affordable Care Act, including their plans to rescind the, quote, moral exemption. I mean, why, right? The signers expressed concern that the Biden administration is not taking drastic enough measures to ensure access to contraceptives and abortifacients. Again, back to the altar of ideology, back to this cult of the pelvic god, back to the worship of a spirit of death. You know, abortifacients, abortion, contraception. They're calling for an end to religious exemptions in addition to the moral exemption included in the Obamacare mandates. At the very heart of all this is something very spiritual, something very demonic, if you ask me, to be honest with you. Satan hates life. He is the antithesis of it. He's death. And anything that advances life or God, he attacks vehemently. That's why you see this, you see this battle continue. There was another story I heard. I don't want to go too woke on you today, or too anti-woke, or however you want to look at this thing. But I just want to show you what's happening in the culture. These are a lot of these stories I'm sharing with you. They have this ideological thread through them, don't they? This one I saw was absolutely. I mean, I had to read the article twice. I thought, okay, it's a misprint, or I don't get this. This morning I saw a story. Where in Canada, right, there's a member of parliament there who introduced legislation that would criminalize making offensive remarks within 300 feet of a drag queen story hour. In Ontario, I said, what? 300 feet. So you're in the parking lot and you're saying, hey, I don't like this. You can't do it. That would be criminal activity, right? 300 feet. The bill seeks to establish what they call the 2S LGBTQI plus community safety zone. So basically when bubbles around anywhere where these drag shows are or these activities take place that hold these events in the safety zone would last for the duration of each event, and anything deemed anti-2S LGBTQI plus harassment, intimidation, hate speech. That's what it would be deemed. Harassment. Intimidation, and you could have a penalty of up to $25,000. So again, the battle of ideology continues. But if this gets passed, that's a slippery slope. Where else does it go? You know, and who is the moral authority to determine what speech is acceptable or not? You know, we even in these colleges, you probably saw what happened at the Stanford Law School, right? That happened last week. Gosh, that was a bizarre story. There's been a recent attack on a lot of conservative colleges. At Stanford Law School, students shouted down Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals Judge Kyle Duncan. He was there just to give a speech, right? Isn't this what the university level should be all about? Exchange of ideas, challenging your thought, finding ways to articulate your position, trying ways to counter or engage in you know, deeper exploration of idea. Isn't that what this should be all about? There's an ad that runs here on Relevant Radio for, I think it's the University of Dallas, where they say, we don't teach you what to think, we teach you how to think. And I think it's such a great line. When free thought, when the inability to think takes place on our nation's campuses, it's a scary thought about what the future holds. The students at Stanford, these law students, were joined by a dean of the school. There was another story I saw, too, at the University of Buffalo. It's a large group of protesters. I don't know if you heard about this or not. They stormed into a speech, and they were challenging a second-wave feminism by Michael Knowles. He's part of Daily Wire. In March, the protesters gathered both in the venue and outside the venue, and campus security removed several disruptors without, they were chanting, "Trans lives matter. Trans lives matter." That's what they were there to disrupt his speech on and shout that. The University of California, Davis, hundreds of protesters gathered outside the venue for a speech by conservative activist Charlie Kirk. No free speech. We want you to accept what we believe and what we say, and we want a platform for it, but we don't want to accept what you think, what you believe, and you can't have a platform for your idea. That's just unhealthy. Yeah, it's un-American. Protesters, including Antifa activists, attempted to bar attendees entering, and two agitators were arrested for spray painting a university building during the protest. A student at Washington and Lee University in Virginia posted a death threat on social media against Matt Walsh, and the post tweeted by YF displays a very graphic photo of the execution of Italian dictator Benito Mussolini, accompanied by this text. It says, "Because Matt Walsh is now apparently speaking at this school, I thought I would post an important reminder what happens to fascists." Hello, what about domestic terrorism, right? What about terroristic threats? Can that not be construed as a terroristic threat? You show a picture of the execution of an Italian dictator, and you say, "Hey, here's a reminder what happens to you." Again, the battle of ideology. That's what we have going on here. I hope you're passionate about this. I hope you're not saying, "Oh, that's such bad news. Oh, boy, what's happening to the world?" And I hope you're doing something about it. So we need to support good Catholic institutions. University of Dallas is one of those. The Franciscan University, the Monsignor James Shea University. We often talk about the University of Mary. I mean, do your due diligence. A lot of great Catholic institutions that are out there. Send your kids to a place where they can be well-formed, right? Do your part to educate yourself and your children. And above all, I mean, I know we can feel powerless. Maybe you don't have kids going to school. I say it over and over again because I believe it, and I don't underestimate it. I think we have to pray and fast. Even if it's a small little thing, every day in my prayer now, I am praying for this country, and I am praying for our leaders, and I'm praying for those educators, and I'm praying for those who can influence. And I hope you do the same thing. God hears our prayers. He certainly hears those sacrifices that we offer, and I encourage you to do that. I was thinking about a conversation Maggie and I had the other day with Barb Ernster, who's in the studio, and I was thinking about this little 10-year-old boy. His feast day was the other day. It was Francisco Marto, one of the seers in Fatima. He asked if he was going to go to heaven, right, after seeing the fires of hell. And the Virgin said, "Yes, but you have to pray many rosaries." He's 10 years old, right? He fasted, he sacrificed, he spent time before the Lord. We take heaven for granted. Hell exists. There are many people heading towards it. Let's begin to draw closer to God. Let's make sure we all attain heaven. Even those that we don't like, we'll pray for their conversion. That's really what this journey in life is about. Yes, we're in a battle of ideology. Yes, we have an enemy who wants to rob us of our soul and forever bind us in hell. But that's not the way the story has to end. I mean, you and I, we talk about these things so that we can do something about them. One final story, maybe a little bit of good news here. There are some pharmacies that have been carrying abortion drugs, right? Quite a few. The Catholic Vote has provided a list of stores that are not carrying these. And I just want to give props to that group. But let me share them with you because I think they deserve voice. Walmart, Costco, Food Lion, Publix, Stop and Shop, Giant, Winnie Dixie, Fresco y Mas, Harvey's, H-E-B, Albertsons, Hy-Vee, Major and Wegmans. So there you go. That's a mouthful. Sometimes I never know how to say Publix or Publix. I think it's Publix, isn't it? Publix. It's big down in Florida. I always see that. You gotta be careful with that word, don't you? That's something else. So anyway, congratulations to those stores. Oh, boy. What a day, right? What a day. Hey, quick programming note. Tomorrow at this time, we're going to be praying the Chapel of the Divine Mercy. I want to make sure you are aware of that, okay? Very important, because we will not be praying at 3. We're going to be going live to the Stations of the Cross. Also, today, if the day does not get by me, there is a plenary indulgence that you can have access to, and I really hope you will take advantage of this. Holy Thursday. The way you can get it is if during the solemn reservation of the Blessed Sacrament, typically it says on a side altar, which follows the Mass of the Lord's Supper, you recite or sing a Eucharistic hymn. You recite the Eucharistic hymn. They're saying ergo, tantum ergo. The other one is if you adore the solemnly reserved Blessed Sacrament for a half an hour. And you are really right now entering the three holiest days on the church's calendar. Starting tonight, I'm going to head to Mass. I'll be praying for you. Tonight's the Mass of the Lord's Supper. Tomorrow, Good Friday, while the liturgy. It'll be a great day here. I hope you'll join me. I'll be on air all 3 hours for you. I'll share with you what the Lord went through, his passion. What I have not done before, and I think I want to do this week, is give you a different look at the passion. I often take you through what the Lord physically suffered. I'll share some of that through the eyes of the mystics and through science. But I want to give you a look at what our Virgin, what the Blessed Mother went through. I mean, I have not done this, but I've been meditating on that. The agony that this woman went through for love of her son and love of us, it's profound. So we'll do that tomorrow. Saturday night, we'll have the Easter Vigil. And of course, if you can go on that day, you also get an indulgence. If two or more people pray the Holy Rosary on Holy Saturday, you'll get that indulgence. And if you celebrate the Easter Vigil, and renew your baptismal promises. So consider doing that. Of course, the usual requirements are necessary for that. What are they, Drew? You need to do a couple things, have detachment from all sin, venial sin, even venial sin, and then a sacramental confession, Holy Communion, and prayer for the intentions of the Holy Fathers. And those three conditions can be fulfilled a few days either before or after the work for that indulgence. But I'll be praying with you in spirit. I'll certainly be praying for you tonight as well when I attend Mass. Please remember me over these holy days and be sure and join me. And in a special way tonight, pray for your priest. You know, tonight we have the institution of the Eucharist. That great gift was given to us, the priesthood, right? And it's a profound day. If I get a chance, I'll share with you a little bit of what Faustina saw in terms of the Last Supper. She was given a glimpse of that, as well as the garden, what the Lord went through. Maybe I'll share a little bit of that with you coming up. But I do want to talk a little bit about our priests. There's a great poem I came across called The Hands of Holy Orders. If you've never heard this, you'll love it. All right? So we're going to get into that and much more. Feel free to join me anytime here. 888-914-9149. I'll be back with more right after this.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
This hour is sponsored by Creative Planning. How is your Catholic faith influencing your financial future? More info, including disclosures at creativeplanning.com/Catholic Focus.
Here I am carrying the actual body of Christ in my hands and taking it to some person. And I remember thinking, do I realize what I've got in my hand? Do I realize what I'm carrying? Do I realize what I'm saying to this person? And I found myself changing, becoming a person that I never used to be.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
I love that clip. You know, so often we take for granted what we have as Catholics, and that is Jesus, truly present in the most holy sacrament of the altar. I'm just so proud to be a Catholic. I'm so glad to be able to share the faith with you. And if you're not Catholic, I really invite you to do this, okay? Today's a great day to do it. It's a day that Jesus Christ himself, at the Last Supper, instituted the Eucharist. He instituted the priesthood. You know, for centuries, we were all on the same page until we had the great split with the Reformation, with Luther and those 95 Theses. And then from there, we see the splinters continue. And it really is unfortunate, but I think you're going to find a beauty, a majesty, a power in the faith. So if you're on the fence when you say, yeah, there's something about Catholicism that has always intrigued me or drew me, I invite you to explore it. All you have to do is go to your local, find a Catholic church and say, hey, I want to talk to a priest, and tell the priest, I'm just curious about the faith. There's no commitment. You don't sign a paper. You don't, you know, you're not going to draw blood. They'll simply invite you to learn more, and they'll either recommend material for you or invite you to what they call an RCIA class. It's a way that you can learn a little bit more about the faith. There are great organizations out there that have tons of information. For example, if you are a fallen away Catholic, and you might say, Drew, I like Relevant Radio, but you know, I just am so bored at church, or I just, you know, I don't need organized religion. You know, I have a relationship with God. Yeah, I know, we hear that a lot. Check out Catholics Come Home, okay? Check out Catholics Come Home. If you're not receiving the sacraments, you're doing yourself a tremendous disservice. You're doing your eternal soul a tremendous disservice. And, you know, this is all part of the great deception of the evil one. This is all part of what Satan, you know, is dancing with joy because of. You know, if he can convince you you don't need the sacraments, he's got a victory. I mean, life is very short. You don't know the day or the hour. And I'll tell you what, our immortal souls, they live forever. And I hope and I pray that I will, when I stand before God, be prepared to meet him. And I pray that for you, too. I really do. And I would ask you today, and I was thinking about this earlier, so much to talk about this afternoon, but I want to give tribute to our priests who have been, they've been so maligned in the culture. They've been so beaten up. They've been so misrepresented. You know, I know a lot of people left the church because of the scandal. And if you watch the news outlets, like it makes my blood boil, actually, when I see some of these reporters do these packages on priests and sexual abuse. And you would think every man that wore a collar was a pedophile. And that could not be further from the truth. You know, there were some real problems within the church. And that came to light, and that has now been remedied. There's been protocols put in, and we see the numbers have dropped precipitously. One case of abuse is too much, of course, but as a result of it, you know, the church has really taken a beating, and so have the priesthood. I think only 4% of the priesthood was involved in that sexual abuse scandal. That means 96% of men who said yes to God, who are faithful to the vows of their ordination, were swept up in that, and it really is a tragedy. It really is a tragedy. Our Lady, in a couple of her different apparition sites, she's been appearing around the world. She has asked to pray in particular for our priests, our bishops, and our cardinals. In fact, I remember in Akita, Japan, this is a church-approved apparition back in 1973, where a wooden statue wept 101 times to a nun. Her name was Sister Agnes Sasagawa. I actually had the privilege as a documentary filmmaker to go there and film her and interview her personally. And spoke to her about the apparitions because the Mother of God appeared to her. And one of the messages there, this was 73. I wasn't there in 73. Of course, I went 20 years later, probably. In 73, when the Virgin was appearing to her, basically, she said to her, you know, the cup is filling up. She warned of what was to come. She asked us to pray for our priest. She reminded Sister to tell the world that Christ exists, that he's an intimate part of life, that he is truly present in the Eucharist. And I was always struck by this vision. Why? Because this was just several years before what would happen. We know in the 80s, the infection, what happened in the seminaries and the church began to take place, come to light in the 2000s, of course. But it was almost like Our Lady was saying, pray, please pray, because Satan is strong, and he wants to infiltrate, he wants to attack the sons of mine. And that's exactly what happened. And that message has not stopped. You know, I know I have several friends who are priests, and I've spoken to them many times. It can be a very lonely calling at times. One priest said to me, you know, Sundays is the loneliest day of the week for me. I'm like, what are you talking about? You've got Mass. He goes, Drew, it's when all that is over. And we go back, you know, to my rectory, and I'm there alone. It used to be that there was fellowship. There were a lot of priests. Rectories were filled. You know, people would invite the priest to their home for dinner. You know, there was a lot going on. We don't see that anymore. Yeah, those men are always there for us. He was very, very honest with me and open about some men that he knew. I mean, addiction can easily creep into the priesthood because Satan has a hatred and enmity for these men. And you might see alcohol, you might see pornography, you might see other things. And I'm not saying this to diminish these men, please. I hope no one interprets it as that. There's a lot of men who that does not happen to. If you have a strong prayer life, if you are close to God, if you fast, if you frequent the sacraments, that is your spiritual armor. That is your protection. And it goes for laity as well as for priests. But, you know, at the end, you know, there is a saying I once heard that the devil has no knees. Satan was once compelled by God to show himself, you know, to this desert father. There is a story about, I think it was Abbot Apollo. And the most striking thing about Satan that the saint saw was that the devil had no knees. That's what he said. The inability to kneel was his point. The inability to kneel in humility before God is the very essence of the diabolical. Why? Because the devil despises humility. That's why he hates Our Lady. That's why he hates a humble soul. That's why he is powerless over a soul that is prayerful and humble. That's why he hates the sacraments. That's why he hates confession. Satan's hatred against that sacrament is powerful for a number of reasons. One, it liberates you from it. It takes those hooks out of you. It breaks those chains. But he has a seething hatred directed against priests. Why? Because they see our humility as we kneel before God. It's the priest who lends his voice to God. We hear him absolve us. We hear him say, your sins are forgiven. It's as Faustina said, it is not the priest that you encounter, but it is Jesus Christ. That's what the Lord told her. He's only hidden by the priest. But when you go to confession, you kneel before Jesus. That's why Satan hates our priests. He hates them. Hates them. The very end of our lives, at the sacrament of the last rites, it will be the priest that anoints you, and who lends his hands, those hands of Christ, the loving hands that will anoint you and send you on your final journey. I pray to God I have that privilege. Lord, hear my prayer. And when that time comes, when you close your eyes for the last time on earth, it's the voice of a priest that will walk you into eternity. And then you open your eyes for the first time and you look in the face of God. I mean, think about that. Think about the beauty of these men. The vocation that they have. Without priest, you would have no Eucharist. You'd have no sacrament of reconciliation. No one to administer those rites. You know, Pope John Paul II told us that prayer united with fasting, it is the most powerful force in the entire world. It's the most powerful force in history, in human history. Prayer and fasting. And I believe that because with prayer and fasting, Our Lady says you can find ways out of situations that have no way out. You're facing an impossible situation. Try prayer coupled with fasting. All right? Do those two things. If you have somebody addicted, pray and fast. If your marriage is in trouble, pray and fast. If you are weak in faith or somebody you love is, pray and fast. And today, and this is my point why I'm bringing this up. It was put on my heart earlier today as I was spending time with the Lord. We need to pray for our priests. You know, I pray for myself, and I pray for family, and I pray for you. And, you know, I don't always specifically remember these beautiful men. And today, as a way to say thank you for the time they baptized your child or performed that wedding or gave you that beautiful sacrament of reconciliation, that sacrament of mercy, or gave you the Eucharist, were there for you or your loved one while they were in the hospital ill with the sacrament of the anointing, the sick, or gave last rites to somebody you love. Let's pray for them. Pray for and support priests who serve us in so many ways. You know, they preach the word of God. They give you the sacraments, they bury the dead, they witness your marriage, right? They counsel you in difficult times. The church, the life of the church, would not exist without them. And again, you keep hearing the media talk about this separation between the hierarchical church and the real church of people. Neither one of those churches exist, okay? That's a false dichotomy. The church cannot exist without priests. I mean that literally. If we didn't have priests, we wouldn't have the church because we wouldn't have the sacraments. And without the saving grace of the sacraments, there would be no reason for the church to exist. And it's as simple as that. It's as simple as that. So let's pray today. Let's fast for them. If you could do that, I'll tell you what, it would do wonders for these beautiful men who are attacked by the evil one. I often hear that, you know, you and I all went at birth, or we're given these guardian angels, but priests are given extra angels because of their ministry. Why? Well, because Satan targets special demons. He knows the weakness of these men. They're human just like us. He knows what they can do for us and for our salvation and our souls, and those demons will do whatever they can to attack those men, whether it is through temptation, whether it's through apathy, whatever it might be, you know? So pray. I'm going to share something I heard years ago at a conference I was at. It's called The Hands of Holy Orders. It was written by Larry and Mary Sue Eck. I think Bob and Rita, I think their last name is Bokey, if I can remember correctly. And we'll put this up on our Twitter page so you can share this. And Jake, I don't know if you have music or not, but let me just share this. I'll share a part of it. It's a little, might be a little bit on the long side, but let me just see. I'll share a part of it with you. And they write this. They say, look at the palms of your hands and remember back to the day when your bishop anointed them and sent you forth to love and to serve us. This is written to priests. Remember the plans you had that day that your hands gathered and ministered to your people. Think of the hands, young and nervous, which have joined in the sacrament of matrimony. Think back to the babies these hands have baptized, and think of the children these hands have prepared for First Communion and Confirmation. Think of the hundreds of homilies these hands have written, carefully choosing words that transform lives. Think of the countless times these hands have been held up in blessing and forgiveness in the sacrament of reconciliation. Now think of your last Mass and so many others when you took plain bread and wine into those hands and changed them into the body and blood of Christ. Think of the hands, our hands, which you place his precious body and the cup of his precious blood. Think of the retreats and the missions, the days and the nights of renewal that these hands have prepared. Think of these people. Think of the people these hands have gathered and touched and sent forth. Think of the times these hands have reached out and grasped our lives, our prayer circle of love. Think of these hands, young and nervous, which your hands have joined in the sacrament of matrimony. Think of the sick in mind and body who have come seeking help and have left with hope alive in their hearts again. Think of the dying bodies these hands have anointed into paradise. Today, we anoint these hands anew with our love, with the love of the entire Catholic family. If ever in the days ahead you feel lonely and discouraged, please remember these words. Please hold up your hands and look at them and remember how they fed us the bread of life. How they brought hope back into our lives. How they comforted us, healed us, and welcomed us home to the church again. We wish we could take you by the hand and stand at the busiest intersection in town and shout to the world, look, everyone, this is our beloved priest in whom we are well pleased. These hands of yours are the hands of the Sacrament of Holy Orders. We reverence them, and we cannot live our lives without them, without you. Thank you for faithfully loving and serving us. We are so proud that you are our beloved priests. Again, that is called The Hands of Holy Orders, written by Larry and Mary Sue Eck and Bob and Rita Bokey. And I know Jake has tracked it down. He'll put it up on our Twitter account. Feel free to share that with your priests. And please, today in a special way, remember him. Pray for him. Pray for your priests, your bishops, and your cardinals. They need it, and we need it.
Unashamed of the truth. It's the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio. Unashamed of the truth.
Hey, for 40 years, Colby Academy, our show sponsor, has aided parents to help their children excel spiritually and academically. On April 21st, Colby is hosting a virtual open house. Don't miss it. Register today at relevantradio.com/Colby.
It's truth, hope, and a look at life you won't get anywhere else. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, coming up, we'll pray the chaplet in about 15 or so minutes, so feel free to join me. I'll take a few calls, too, here. I was just talking to Jake and Patrick during the break here, and I was sharing a personal experience I had about my first encounter with a priest. You know, you look at these guys like they're ivory statues, but I'll have to share some of that with you, and I'll take your calls, too. If you want to get in, maybe share a very brief story. I try to be, you know, pretty concise about it. But if there was a priest that really changed your life, maybe he helped you come back into the church, maybe it was conversion, maybe he forgave you, maybe it's something, a piece of advice he gave, you know, feel free to give us a call and you can pay tribute to him right now. The number to get in to talk to me anytime is 888-914-9149. Coming up, I'll also tell you how you can get a plenary indulgence this Triduum, okay? I'll fill you in on that and a lot more. So Brian is listening in Little Rock, Arkansas. Brian, thanks for calling. Good afternoon.
Peace be with you, Drew.
Hey, and with you.
Man, what a great topic. I think it's such a we don't do it enough, honor our priests. Amen. I've got a cousin who teaches at the seminary in the Vatican in Rome, and he shares with me that the most difficult time for the priesthood is their first 5 years, because they've been in this fraternity of 8 years of formation, yeah. And many times they get assigned to a remote area, and they really can't cook for themselves, and they get apple pie, and they, you know, put on weight. And,
yeah.
And, you know, one of the greatest blessings in our family has been to have priests over for dinner. And they crave that, these priests. And it has been such a rich blessing for our kids just to see these priests at a personal level at the dinner table. And if I could just briefly just...
Sure.
I was away from the church for 20-some years.
Wow.
And came back to the church. And I got to tell you, I came back to church in 2011, but... I started listening to Relevant Radio in January of this year, and, wow, man, my faith has grown warp speed.
I love that.
But
that's great.
When I came back to the church, I called my mom and dad and told them I had come back.
Oh, wow.
My dad said, your mother's been praying a rosary for you every day for the last 20
gosh.
Years.
Oh, my gosh.
And I went back to Wichita, and my mom says, you need to go see Monsignor Carr. Well, Father Carr was our pastor growing up in Wichita. So I went to see him. He's retired. He's very frail. And he said, to what do I owe the pleasure of this visit? And I said, well, I just want to let you know I came back to the church. And he was, again, older and frail, but he gets up, Drew, and walks over to his nightstand, and he takes his little notebook, and he takes a pencil, and I said, what are you doing? And he said, your mom told me when you left the church.
Oh, my gosh.
But I've been praying for you, and now that you're back, I'm taking you off my list. And Drew, even to distill in this story just brings me to tears, but that this priest, of all the people in his flock, that he would say to my mom, I'll pray for Brian. And so last thing I would tell you, and ever since I heard that story, and I think every man particularly, I think, you know, everyone, but I particularly encourage men to do this. When you leave church on Sunday, don't say great homily. Don't say, look them in the eye, shake them in the hand, and say, thank you for your priesthood.
Wow.
Thank you for your priesthood.
Amen. Hey, Brian, I love your story. You ought to write that down. Because, you know, you give so many mothers hope. My own mother prayed for my father probably 20, 30 years at least for his conversion. It was the rosary that did it every day, nonstop. And the power of prayer. I often say to people, because you look at your son or your loved one or whoever it is that's so far away from the faith, they think he'll never come back. Prayer converts the most hardened heart, the most wayward soul. And what a beautiful testimony you are today. I am so grateful for your call. I'm so glad you're back home. And thank you for sharing that with us today and for the advice that you left with us.
Well, Drew, I can't. Your chaplet at 3 o'clock is beautiful. The memorare is beautiful. These priests are beautiful men, so well said. And God bless you and
thank
the ministry
you.
Of Relevant Radio. And thank Amen. You for our priests, Lord. Thank you for our priests.
God bless you. You know, I didn't think I was going to talk much about the priesthood. I thought I'd give you the origins of the priesthood, the biblical roots, and how Mass came about, and, you know, give a little kind of 101 on the history and the theology behind it all, maybe talk about the Eucharist. We'll still do that. But, you know, the Holy Spirit works sometimes in mysterious ways through this program. And I think today is the day we really should, as Brian had pointed out, really thank our priests. And you might not be able to say it personally to them today, but you could pray. You can offer a small sacrifice. Let's offer the chaplet for them coming up in a little bit too. As I said, they need our prayers. We get so much for them, from them, and sometimes we take them for granted. And I'm telling you, Satan hates them. He cannot stand them. And as Brian points out, you know, it's a big adjustment, that life. There's some great sacrifices made, but I know the blessing that they receive, the light that they will shine with in the next life is going to be amazing. Let's go to our next call. Where are we here? Jake, is it Rita who's up next? Rita in South Dakota. Hi, Rita. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. This is Rita. I just wanted to share a really amazing story about the pastor of our parish when I was in eighth grade. His name was Father Joe Shamanic. He's gone to Jesus by now, but this one morning we went, it was a parish with a Catholic school attached. And I arrived at school and I had this internal desire to go into the church. And I walked in, and the night before, some young people had broken in and vandalized the church. And they had desecrated the tabernacle. And I found Father Shamanic on his hands and knees.
Oh, man.
Sorry. Crawling around the whole church, picking up and consuming every consecrated host that had been desecrated by these young people. And I'll never forget that. It was so profound.
Wow.
The tears ran down his face. They ran down mine.
Oh.
And that was, God, that was probably 35 years ago. And to this day, it brings tears to my eyes to think how intense his love for the Eucharist was.
Yeah.
And the fact that he was willing to forgive these people who had done this terrible thing and to just honor and adore Jesus in such an amazing way.
Well, first of all, thank you for sharing that, Rita. And it is a tribute to not just that priest. I know he's with God now, as you pointed out, but boy, it really speaks to his true, his belief in the true presence of the Eucharist. And what a witness it was for you. And who, you know,
right.
Now look, he's reaching the nation and the world with that act. It makes me think of what happened with Bishop Sheen, too, when how he started his 1 hour of Eucharistic adoration every day. He had heard the story of a young girl who saw the same thing happen. You know, the church was desecrated. This was, I believe, in China. And the priest in the rectory was not allowed to leave it. They had guards posted out there. But a little girl would sneak into the church every day. There were 30-some hosts on the floor. And every night she'd come in and consume one, sneak past the guards and get in. And the final night, she was discovered. And those guards beat her brutally. They beat her to death. That she loved the Eucharist so much, had such reverence for our Lord, truly present in it. She was willing to risk her life, which she ultimately gave. And when Bishop Sheen heard about that, he vowed every day to do an hour of Eucharistic adoration. So Sheen also said to many priests about the Eucharist, he says, you know, they'd marvel at him because he was a big TV star and, you know, he was such a great speaker. He says, if you want sparks to fly from the podium, then do 1 hour of Eucharistic adoration every day. And that's really where the power comes from. It's not for how much we know. It's not for how many years we've done something. It really is animated, or it's empowered by the Spirit when it comes to preaching and to the work of God. And she knew that, and it was a lesson to all of us. It's a lesson, ultimately, to me. Rita, thank you. Thank you for that beautiful call. Chris is listening in Shelton, Connecticut. Hi, Chris. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I want to say thank you. I love your show. Listen to
thank
it all
you,
the time.
Chris. Thanks so much.
I'd like to thank my brother, who's a priest. I saw his conversion.
Wow.
Amazing story. It's approved by the Bishop to tell it. He died once when he was young. So it's approved by the church and changed him.
So he had a near-death experience and he came back and had a conversion? Is that what happened?
Well, we were grown Catholic, but he got into a certain type of drugs and alcohol. They published the story before he became ordained, just to get it out there, so not to create any, you know. And God judged him. He was judged. He met his guardian angel. And he said, God doesn't judge us. We do. And he goes, all I felt was love around me from Jesus. I wanted to go to hell. I welcomed that.
Yeah.
It's an amazing story.
Yeah. Yeah. It sounds very much like the story of Father Stephen Shire, who had the same experience. He says, when you stand before divine truth, you know where you belong. By my life, by my actions, I knew I had to go to hell. And he was condemned to hell, but Our Lady intervened and he had a second chance. But that's a great, first of all, John, or Chris, that's a great story. Send me that story. I'd love to share it on the air one day and maybe even talk to him. He's a priest today, right?
He's a priest. It's approved by his bishop to talk about it. It's a death talk he gives to teenagers. Maybe I can have him reach out to your station eventually. He's pray for him. He's got a new assignment starting next week.
Yeah, we'll do that.
And I'll reach out, maybe email your station.
Yeah, do that. I'd love to talk to him. I'd love to hear his stories. I love those types of stories on the air. And again, we'll pray for him. And you could send a shout out to him, as he said. He says he's sending a shout out to his twin brother. Jake, you put up a poll. Is that what you did? Or what did you put on Twitter? Are people...
Well, just in case someone isn't able to get through on the phone lines, you can still shout out the priest who's impacted you in your life on our Twitter. So just go to @DrewMarianiShow and share who that priest is that's really helped you in your life and why they made a difference. So that's, again, on Twitter, and I'll also put up a post on Facebook, too.
That's awesome. All right, Oceanside, California. James, good afternoon.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome, James. Good to have you.
Yeah, there's just there's a priest out here in Oceanside. His name's Father Kavanaugh. Really just a gentle man. And I was a little bit late going to confession because he always starts confession 30 minutes before Mass. Right. And when I was walking up, he was about to walk away. But he stopped and he stood there and he heard my confession. And then I walked away and then I was able to, you know, consume the Eucharist. And then I was looking online and he's the only priest that has confession daily, 30 minutes before Mass.
God bless.
So then I thought about it. It's like, wow, like he has to be up at 5 o'clock every morning, you know, at 30 minutes before Mass. And everyone has that ability to go into Mass and then to take our Lord, you know, in a state of grace because he's willing to, you know, give his time like that. So I thought that was really powerful.
James, thanks for sharing that. I love the story. I had a very similar experience the other day. I had gone to church and church was full. I was in the very back, and there's a church in my community here has Mass, has confession every day around 11:30 to 12, right before the noon Mass. And the priest had been in there for a long time. He came out, and I just said, "Hey, Father, thanks so much for hearing confessions," because there's not many places in this community that does it. And if you are a priest listening to me, you know, I think of the Cure of Ars. Think of St. John Vianney and how he converted his entire community, one of the patrons of the priesthood. He would spend hours and hours in the confessional, and at first nobody came. But soon, you know, not only did his holiness and his example of prayer and the priesthood, he'd be in that for 16 hours. People would come from foreign nations just to go to confession to this great priest. Of course, Satan hated him. He'd beat him up and turn his, you know, light his bed on fire and do all sorts of things. But the fruit of that one priest and his action converted his parish. And I just want to invite you. I'm not a priest, and I know that it takes, it is a sacrifice. It's a lot of time. But avail yourself of that great gift of this of the sacrament of reconciliation to your people. And I'm telling you what, you never know the fruit that's going to come from it. So this priest walking by, I said, thanks. He says, "You want to go to confession?" And I'm like, "Oh, well, sure." I'm not going to say no. So I went in, I got to go to confession. But I was so grateful for these priests making themselves available. You know, you never know the soul that comes by that really needs to go at that particular time. And James, thank you for your call. And again, you know, don't judge your priest either. I know sometimes you're really hard. Oh, the priest is boring. His homilies are terrible, or he's mean in confession, or he's, you know what? They're also human. You got to remember that. So let's pray for our priest. I know there's a lot of calls on the line, but let me just tell you this, because I know how quick the show's going to go. I want to get you plugged into an indulgence you can get today. You can get a plenary indulgence today, Holy Thursday, okay? And again, a plenary indulgence is a grace. It's a grace granted by the Catholic Church through the merits of Jesus and through the saints to remove this temporal punishment due to our sin. And the indulgence applies to, of course, sins already forgiven. A plenary indulgence cleanses the soul as if the person has just been baptized. And of course, you have to meet certain requirements for it. And it can be obtained during Holy Week. And I only have a minute. I can go through how you get the plenary indulgence. But let me just tell you what's happening here on Holy Thursday. If during the solemn reservation of the Blessed Sacrament, typically on a side altar, which follows the Mass of the Lord's Supper, you can recite the Eucharistic hymn, Tantum Ergo. Or, and two, if you adore solemnly reserved Blessed Sacrament for half an hour. That's right.